So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Moment. This event that's about to happen has been unfolding for 4,000 years. 4,000 years in the waiting. God would finally send the Messiah. He would send the Redeemer, the one who would right the wrong that had happened all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Now, this Savior, he would be a king of all kings. That means that every king would bow to him as the ultimate king. Every king would answer to this Messiah ultimately. This Messiah would be greater than David was. This Messiah would be greater than Moses and greater than Elijah. He would be a conquering lion and a wise man beyond the wisdom of Solomon. But exactly how would this Savior come? And who? Who would be the lucky Jewish woman who gave birth to the Messiah? What would the Messiah's incredible mother be like? What traits would she possess? Beauty? Surely she'd have to be beautiful, right? And I'm thinking Hollywood actress beautiful. Jennifer Aniston. Megan Fox, Beyonce. Beautiful, right? She'd have to be. Or maybe the mother of the Messiah would have to be affluent. Would she have to be rich like Ivanka Trump? Heir to a fortune like Paris Hilton? Or perhaps the mother of the Messiah would need to be intellectual, brilliant like Margaret Thatcher, creative like J.K. Rowling, sharp like Sarah Palin. Jewish women in biblical times had a prayer that they would pray at the birth of every baby girl, a prayer that maybe this baby girl would ultimately go on to be the mother of the Messiah. That's what people wondered 2010 Christmases ago. But in the end, as you and I know, God picked a poor teenage girl, a girl of no importance, to be the one who would give birth to the Son of God. Was she beautiful? Hollywood beautiful? Was she affluent? Was she brilliant? Well, tonight, we're going to look at what her qualifications were as we looked in Luke chapter 1. The first trait that we see about the mother of the Son of God is this. If you have your outlines, take them out. Now would be a good time for you to get these notes. Mary was ready to serve God. The angel tells us this. It tells us and uses a phrase. It says that Mary had found favor with God. Now, that may not sound very big, but that's a very big statement. Since there's only one other person in the Bible who we hear found favor with God. Any guesses? Jesus? We didn't say it about Jesus. Anybody else who has found favor with God? Close, not Joseph. What did he say? Not David. Good choice. All good choices. Genesis chapter 6. Noah. Why Noah? Let's see what it says about Noah in Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Same exact phrase. Verse 9 through following. Noah was a righteous man. Look what it says here. The only blameless person living on the earth at that time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Well, if God is never changing, then it makes sense that what brought God's favor to Noah is the same thing that would bring God's favor to Mary. And you kind of get that sense about Mary by her humble and compliant response to Gabriel's announcements. We are not told that Mary was blameless or righteous in God's eyes, but the math lines up. Through Noah, the earth would be reborn and mankind saved. Well, through Mary, mankind would be reborn and man's spirit saved. God can certainly use any of us to do any of his bidding, but there seems to be a readiness in Noah and a readiness in Mary that we should yearn for. Ask yourself this question tonight. If God came to us tonight with a plan to save the world, would we be able to say that we have grown to a place of spirituality, a place of integrity, grown in our natural preparedness so that God would label us ready to be used by God, found in favor of God? Now, I'm not talking about perfection. We know Noah wasn't perfect. And we know Mary wasn't perfect. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But could it be said of us that in our daily walk, God is finding favor with the way we're living our lives? Or do we need to make some changes? Maybe changes in our spirit, changes in our relationships, or even changes in our natural preparedness, what God has asked us to do in the lives that we live here. There was a young girl named Arlene. And Arlene went to high school in a rough area and hard times. And along the way, as she was in high school, she was offered a job. Now, she hadn't finished high school yet. She was only in 10th grade. But this job offer looked too good to pass up. And so Arlene took the job, quit school, and took the job. Didn't finish high school. Arlene worked for a while. Eventually, she found a nice man. They got married, had children. And along the way, Arlene found God. She found Jesus Christ in the church, just like this. Accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior and would go there to learn every week, like you do. And along the way, God talked to Arlene about her preparedness, her readiness. One of the things that God brought to her attention through the things that she was learning was that she needed to go back down her life's road and see if there's anything in the life's road that really needs to be redone. Something that kind of, a ball that got dropped. Maybe something that got off track that she can correct. And one of the things that God kept bringing to her heart was that she didn't finish high school. She started to really feel convicted about that. But why? She wouldn't need that. She's okay. She's moving along. Things are going okay. But God said to her in her heart, you go and get that. I want you to finish high school. So she did. She went and studied, got her high school diploma. It wasn't long after that her husband got to a place where he could no longer work. He lost his job. Things were looking bleak. Times were getting tough again. This girl needed to find some work. This woman needed to find some work. Problem was, there weren't many jobs being offered. And then one came to her attention. A friend brought it to her. Working for the state unemployment office. Not going to the state unemployment office. Working for the state unemployment office. And she walked in and said, I really need this job. They says, well, there's only one requirement. You have to have a high school diploma. She got the job, and she worked the rest of her career for the state of New Jersey. A preparedness that God had for her, a readiness And she had to get taken care of so that God could use her in the calling that he had for her. Gang, the bottom line is this. If there is something that God has told us we need to take care of, then we need to get going on getting that taken care of. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe there's a bad habit that God has been bringing to your attention. And God needs you ready. Time to address the bad habit. Maybe it's a bad attitude. Change it. Be ready, because when God calls, like Mary got her call, she was ready. Noah was ready. Maybe it's a fractured relationship that you need to travel back down that road. Do your best to repair it. As long as you've done your part, God says you're ready. Mary was ready when God called and needed to use her. And we should be too. That's better than beauty. Trait two. We see often that when God calls, we respond with trait two. Mary was willing. It says this in verse 38. And I love this because this is Mary's response when Gabriel does give her this calling. 38 says this, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. Yeah, Mary knew quite well the stir this ministry God had for her was going to cause. Talk about taking criticism and ridicule for God. Mary is looking at the mother of all hardship for a teenage girl. It could quite honestly be a death sentence for her, because there was a clause in the Jewish world for stoning of an unfaithful mate, which Mary would have been considered. But Mary responds to God's call with, do what you wish, Lord. I will obey. I will follow you. All of it. Mary was willing to say, what? She was agreeable to subject herself to that kind of ridicule and scandal? To go from Mary, the nice, young, well-behaved Jewish girl, to Mary, the eternal mother of Jesus Christ, and all that that holds? The answer is yeah. Mary was willing. She was willing to serve God and create God's wishes, not her own. Now, I think sometimes we get a confused sense of what serving God really is, and Mary puts it right up there on the table. Mary was not simply going to add serving God to her life as it was. No, Mary's calling would become her life. There's a big difference between adding God's ministry to your life and making God's ministry your life. Mary knew it, and we need to know it too. You see, when God places a mission on your life, we refer to that as a calling. This is something God wants us to do. It's something that God wants us to own. Think of Lord of the Rings, little Frodo accepting the calling, the thing that had to be done by taking the ring to Mordor. A calling is something God wants done for the advancement of his kingdom. And this calling is uniquely designed for each one of us. My calling was to start this church. Bug's calling was to run the setup team ministry on Saturday nights. Kelly's calling was to explain God to young people. Shanda's calling was to show people hospitality as they walk into this place. Caleb's calling was to act. Robert's calling was to pull a trailer. Hank's calling is to play guitar. Callings are not measured in their size or their scope. My calling is no bigger or any grander than Shanda's. Kelly's is no more important than Bug's. No part of the body of Christ is any greater than the other. All callings are vitally important. But what is unique, though, is how you treat your calling. Mary showed us how she was to treat her calling. I am your willing servant, Lord. May everything you have said about me come true. I'll do it all, Lord. I'm not 1 foot in. I want it all. You see, gang, a calling leads us to prioritizing. Will your calling be of utmost importance in your life? How powerfully will you embrace what God has asked you to do? Will you see the job God has for you as your central main impetus in life? For me, that was an easy answer. If God Himself asked me to do something, how in the world could I put my hobby or my desires or my plans or anything above that on my priority list? It's not the only thing in my life, but it is the one thing God has asked me to do. So it is there as my main priority. Mary didn't say, as you read this text, she didn't say, well, but my wedding. At least, Lord, wait till after I'm married. That'll make things a lot easier. Make my wedding a priority. No. But what about Joseph? Certainly he must be of a higher priority. No. No higher priority than the calling God places on her life. And it became her instant priority. So when you have your calling, something God's asking you to do, you make it a priority, and that leads us to number three. You will sacrifice for your priority. Look what Mary did. Mary was making an incredible sacrifice, wasn't she? Now, we know, here's the tough part. We know the end of the story, but she didn't. She had no idea how this would turn out for her and no idea how it would turn out for Joseph. She had no idea what her parents would say or what Joseph would do. She just knew she had God on her side and that she was following him. Her reputation, her future, her desires, they couldn't woo her away, or they couldn't woo her into lowering God's calling on her priority list. The reputation, her desires, her future would all be laid before God's feet as something she would sacrifice to what she was called to do. Now, I got to be honest with you. Sacrifice has become a pretty lost practice in our society. But it is not a lost practice in God's kingdom. Ask anyone who's serving God. I have several people that I serve with who model this action of sacrifice for me beautifully. They model it for me, I see it, and I'm inspired. I remember when a friend's transmission on his truck wiped out. A fellow who pulled the trailer. This is going to be expensive to fix this transmission. And you struggle with it. Do we have the money for that? Maybe it's easier to kibosh the truck and just get something nice and easy that I can use to go back and forth to work. And I remember that guy coming to me and saying, that wasn't even an option. I have to pull this trailer. It's my calling. It's a priority, and I will sacrifice to pull that trailer. Sacrifice, priority, calling. I know another one. It doesn't have to be money. A fellow went off to a Christian concert, an all-day Saturday Christian concert event. But checked out of the Christian concert at 4 o'clock to be here at 5 o'clock to help set up. You're kidding. You left the concert? Absolutely. It's my calling. It's a priority. And I sacrifice for my priority. People who wear out their vehicles. People who cut vacations short. People who do without so others can have. All so they can complete the mission and calling that God has for them. That, gang, is what it means to be willing to serve God. Not just getting to what God called us to do when we have time for it. Mary, I have a calling for you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her to get on with it. Quite a young follower of God. Ready to serve God. Willing to serve God. And one final trait. Mary responded, Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made his promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. King Mary has lived a life of integrity. She has embraced her calling, and now we see what her attitude about serving God is. In what is called her Magnificat, what we just read, she says, Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. Amazing. God steps into Mary's life and demolishes her future. Mary had picked out a future for herself, and God said, that's not the one you get. Instead, God sets her on a mission of absurdity. And Mary's attitude is one of humble, joyful thanksgiving. Let's make that the final trait of Mary tonight. Mary was ready, Mary was willing to serve God, and Mary was joyful serving God. How can this be? Can people today really be joyful in doing what God has called them to do as work? Very interesting. Several weeks ago, I was in the back and we were talking, and as you know, Westbridge, we bought property several years ago and we're in the process of paying that property off. We have a mortgage on the property and we're paying it off. And you know, every now and then people talk about what's going to happen with that property in the future. Will we have a building up there, a campus, more the right terminology? And I remember the setup team guys being in the back, and they said, man, I don't want no building. I said, really? Well, yeah, and they're all grumbling it. They don't want a building. I said, why is that? They said, because I like doing this. What do you mean? I like going out there in that freezing cold, unloading two trailers, bringing it in here, setting it up. I said, come on. No. I like it. I like doing that. I'll miss it. If we didn't do that. Joyful? Doing that kind of work? Let me give you two keys to serving God with joy. When servants of Jesus Christ bear in mind what God is trying to accomplish, that is, saving mankind, all the hard work and the sacrifice seems so incredibly worth it. And two, when servants of Jesus Christ stand arm in arm on the battlefield with each other, bearing each other on, making each other stronger, then the callings on our lives, like unloading a trailer, those become gifts. Gifts we cherish, not hard jobs that weigh us down. This is one of the elements, a little behind the scenes, of the leadership at Westbridge. One of the core values that we hold up at Westbridge is serve in joyfulness. It's not just a slogan. If someone comes to me, or comes to any of our ministry leaders, if someone comes to them and says that they're not enjoying the ministry that they are doing here, and they have been feeling that way for some time, we immediately tell them, stop. Stop. Shut it down. Stop. Stop serving. God's calling must have an undercurrent of joy sustaining it. Sure, there are tough days. Sure, it gets cold. Sure, we get a lot of, you deal with some people that are tough. But there has to be an undercurrent of joy, an undercurrent like Mary had. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. Mary was ready. Mary was willing. And Mary was happy to serve God. Our time is coming to an end here this evening. I want to leave you with an opportunity to respond to God for three different things about Mary tonight. Maybe there's some things God has asked you to do to be ready for what lies ahead. Maybe tonight is the night that you can talk to God about those things. Maybe tonight's the night to pull the trigger and do that thing that needs to be done. I'm going to ask the band to come back. Maybe tonight's the night where God is saying, you know what? There's something natural in your life you need to take care of. Get a GED. Maybe there's something at home you've been promising to do. You need to get it done. Maybe God wants you to take care of something spiritually in your life. It's time to get involved in a small group. It is time to start reading your Bible every day. It is time to start being in church and learning and committing to it. Maybe God's saying there's something you need to do in your relational walk to be ready. Maybe there's just something there, a grudge you've been holding, maybe a relationship that's fractured and he wants you to fix it. Talk to God as the band plays. Or maybe God's talking to you tonight about the trait of willingness. You need to speak to God. What is my calling? What do you want me to do? Maybe he's asked you to do it and you've pushed it off. Maybe you're waiting for him to tell you what to do. God has a calling. The Bible tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians that we all have a part to play in the body of Christ. We need to make that our calling. We need to make that a priority above all else. And when it's your priority, you will sacrifice for it to make it happen. Maybe God wants to speak to you about that, or you need to speak to him as the band plays. Or maybe the final thought, the final trait of Mary, maybe it's just a need to address an attitude in you. Are you living a life in Jesus Christ that when people see it, you look like a light on a dark hill that just shines? You shine with happiness. You shine with a confidence through a recession. You shine with hope because it's all under control in God's hands. Humble, joyful, grateful attitude. Maybe that's what you need to speak to him about as we sing this final song. But take the time. Connect with God.